Episode 26 of IBC Podcast.
Welcome to the Integrated Bilingual Counseling Podcast, where you will learn topics related to your well-being, emotions, marriage, relationships, parenting, immigration, and more. And now your host, Jose Villafuerte, and co-host, Myra Aguirre.
Hello, how's everyone doing? This is Jose Villafuerte, the host of this year's weekly podcast show. And today I'm accompanied by a really good friend of mine, Roberto Castellon. And he actually happens to be one of our independent contractors here at Integrated Bilingual Counseling. How are you, Robbie?
Good, Jose. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
It's my pleasure, man. And actually, I want to thank you for taking the time to do this podcast recording with us on a Saturday. And what we're going to be discussing today on this episode is something that is really and extremely important for all of us as parents, teachers, and anybody that has experienced this type of behaviors, what is called as bullying. But before we proceed with the topic, I want to give a brief intro about who Roberto Castellon is. So Roberto is a bilingual licensed clinical social worker who's been active in the mental health field for the past 8 years. He received his bachelor's degree in social work from Sacred Heart University. That's actually kind of a coincidence because I also went to Sacred Heart University. And then he obtained his master's degree in social work from Fordham University. He possesses the experience needed to work with children and families. He has worked in all different settings, specializing with children and adolescents. He is currently working for, what is the setting you're working at, Robbie?
It's Optimus Healthcare. It's a medical, it's like a community health center.
Community health mm-hmm. center, and this is located in Bridgeport. And I actually had the pleasure to work with Robbie for another mental health agency or clinic, and this happened in New Haven. And we were together for about a year?
Correct, yep.
So something to share about Robbie and the work that he does. He's a very compassionate humankind. The clients that he left at the other agency where we happened to work together always ask about Robbie. And one of the things that was very characteristic about him is, again, you know, his compassion for others, his clinical skills are always sharp. And so far, what I can say is that it's been a pleasure with us, Robbie. You've been close to, no, actually, it's more than a year already, right, with Integrated Bilingual Counseling?
It is.
It is, and he's our star here at IBC. So I'm very grateful and very honored to work with you, man.
No, thank you. I appreciate it. It's been a journey. It's been a fun ride.
It's been a journey. Well, Robbie, is there anything else that you want to add, you know, to what I said about your bio?
No. You know, it was everything that you said. You know, I enjoy working with children, adolescents, especially adolescents. And I got the pleasure to work with a lot of adults at our last agency that we were working in. Mm-hmm. So that's been something great. And like you said, I just love working with people, just kind of love kind of using a strength-based perspective with people and kind of trying to get their strengths out and then working from there. But other than that, man, you covered everything, man. Good job.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Robbie. And well, first of all, let me ask you this. Why you have such a passion to work with kids and adolescents?
My passion to work with them is to see them strive and become productive members of society. I think that many times kids, they don't have sometimes control over their environments, and sometimes they don't have control over some things that they've seen or some things that they've been through, unfortunately. So I think as professionals, or it could be a therapist or even a teacher or a basketball coach or anything, we're privileged enough to kind of help guide them in the right direction. And many times we see that some of these kids and adolescents are not guided in the right directions. So I think my passion is just to help them, just to be a light for them. Because at one point, someone was there for me and it was my light as an adolescent and going through some tough times, man. So I just want to give back to my community as well.
Right. It's kind of returning a favor that was done to you, passing it on to others.
Yeah, it's more than a favor. It's more of a passion that drives me. And I think children and adolescents are the future of our society. You mm-hmm. know, they are. And a lot of them, they struggle with certain things that I feel like I could relate to, you know, growing up as well. So
Definitely.
No, it's a passion.
And talking about the future of our society, which I totally agree with you, kids and adolescents are, the topic of today is about bullying.
Yes.
And I think that when we think about kids and adolescents being our future, what does bully do to those kids? How it prevents them from achieving their goals and from achieving, you know, whatever they want or whatever they're expecting. So why don't you talk to us about what is bullying for folks that might not be familiar with those terms?
Yeah, I think bullying is some form of unwanted power over another child or another adolescent. A lot of times we see bullying being you want to have some sort of power or you want to be in some sort of control, whether it's aggressively, you know, whether it's on other angles such as a perceivance of power and an imbalance. Some maybe someone's from a different race or maybe someone is physically inferior to somebody. And I think that person's control over that, wanting to have control over somebody is kind of what kind of defines bullying. We see a lot of different kinds of bullying, whether it's direct bullying. And in today's society, with social media, we see a lot of indirect bullying, like cyberbullying and those kind of things also happening. So I think a lot of times we see movies and we see bullies as far as some kids do my homework or I beat you up. You know, that's a kind of bullying, unfortunately, but there's also kind of other forms of bullying, whether it's through Facebook, Snapchat, and other things like that, through name calling. And those are also forms of bullying that really intimidate kids. Mm-hmm. And it really, really has effects in them.
So it is a form of intimidation. Like you said before, it's an imbalance. Mm-hmm. Power. It's one having the power over somebody else and forcing them to do something or just hurting them.
Yeah.
You talk about cyberbullying, which leads me to think that there are different kinds of bullying. I check a little bit onto, you know, this topic, and I saw that there's physical bullying, emotional bullying. What can you tell us about emotional, for instance?
Emotional bullying, especially if you tell a kid, oh, you're ugly or you're fat or look at your nose or look at your haircut, those kind of emotional indirect or direct kind of verbal aggression, it's emotionally scars kids and it scars teenagers. I think a form of emotional abuse is also kind of making these unwanted accusations about somebody, or you see this a lot in high school that this person did this, or this person, you saw this person with this girl, you saw this person with this guy, and those kind of verbal accusations are also an emotional stressor for an adolescent in school.
And talking about stressors, I'm just wondering about bullying in general. How does it affect, how bullying affects kids in general, not just talking about physical or emotional or cyber, how kids get affected psychologically, you know, by this behavior?
Oh, no, it has definitely a strong effect. I think when you look at a child's or an adolescent's self-esteem, don't forget that a child and an adolescent, they're still going through the phases of development. So a part of it is if a kid's going to school and he's being bullied, what are some of the effects as far as their self-esteem, their confidence? What are they going to be thinking about themselves in our practice and working with kids and children? We see a lot of them kind of becoming aggressive at home and refusing to go to school and hating school. And what kind of emotional impact does it have on them? Mm-hmm. Instead of kind of gaining confidence and instead of kind of gaining the self-esteem that they need, they're coming home or they're living every day in fear or they're living every day with this anxiety that's beginning to overwhelm them. And that's not good. That's not good for them, and it's not good for the families to have to deal with that.
Right. And now that you're talking about the stages of development, I'm wondering if bullying would prevent kids from achieving their developmental milestones. What do you think?
I think it does. As far as I think when you have to create your own identity, I think you see that like in Erikson's more developmental kind of stages, especially with adolescents, as far as like creating your own identity, this identity versus isolation kind of developmental stage. And I think it gives them a negative identity about themselves. Mm-hmm. And it begins to affect their self-esteem and it isolates them. So instead of us growing as adolescents and feeling more confident about ourselves and feeling more better about ourselves, we're not, you know, we're kind of feeling depressed and
insecure.
You know, insecure. And we've seen the effects of these. We've seen the effects of these in kids who, adolescents who commit suicide, adolescents who, unfortunately, with this topic of mass shootings, we've seen that we go down the history of the kids from Columbine, the kids from Sandy Hook, unfortunately, and all these other, these kids were, some of them were bullied and some of them were made fun of. And the effects, those are extreme measures, obviously, but it happens. And I don't think we could take bullying lightly. It's something serious, and it's something serious that happens. I remember growing up, this was happening in my school. I've seen other kids get bullied and kind of just resenting that, being like, man, that's not good. You know, these kids are going to grow up and God forbid they do something dangerous or aggressive. We've seen that with these tragedies that have happened.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Those tragedies are very unfortunate to see. And they're I think that they're happening more often than before. Now, let's talk about the signs of bullying. What would be the signs of bullying? And this is coming from a place of being a parent or an educator or just being a kid or an adolescent. What would you say are the signs of bullying?
I think some signs are if a child is beginning to, or an adolescent is beginning to exhibit some kind of depressive symptoms that they haven't displayed before. As far as they become more isolated, they're more like in their rooms, or they don't really communicate as much as they did. That's one of the signs that something might be going on. I think other physical signs, as far as like unexplainable injuries on them, they come home and some of their clothes are destroyed, and you know, some things like that. Also, physically about the child, this is definitely a sign. I think having issues sleeping, a change in eating habits, those are signs that can be a part of bullying as well. I think those are amongst other son-in-laws of friends or not being engaged in family activities. Those are all kind of signs that a child might be getting bullied, especially coming home. I think, too, not wanting to go to school in the mornings, not wanting to go on the bus. A lot of kids get bullied on the bus as well.
Right.
Not wanting to go to school, period. Mm-hmm. And that's definitely a big sign of bullying. Like, that's what's going on. I mean, some of us don't want to go to school because we're kids and we don't want to go to school, or we forgot our homework, or
right.
you know, we have a big test that we're not ready for.
Right.
No, but there can be other signs as well, such as bullying or someone threatening us when we go to school, and you know, we don't want to be part of that.
So what do you recommend to that parent or teachers that are paying attention to the signs and that they actually notice the signs on, you know, the kids' behaviors? What would you tell them?
I think the biggest thing, I think if we talk about parents, for example, I think in our community, we see a lot of parents whose kids are getting bullied, and some of these parents don't know what to do. I think the first step is the parent has to be very active in the situation. They have to be very active in terms of going to the school. First of all, they have to engage with their child and see exactly what's going on. And that's another kind of topic for another day, an engagement with the child and see what's exactly what's happening. But other than that, you have to be active in the school. You have to go to the school. You have to talk to the teachers. If you're a parent and your child's getting bullying, I encourage you to go to the school, talk to the teachers, talk to the principal, talk to the social worker. Really be active, because this could be an issue that it's really affecting your child. And as far as if you're a teacher, if you see something, act upon it. Meet with the child or meet with the principal and say, I'm seeing this in the school, and I'm seeing this, and this is... Meet with the social worker. Have the social worker take, if there's a social worker in the school, have the social worker go and talk to the children about this. And if a principal is seeing this, maybe the principal, or if you're a teacher, you tell the principal, you could do like a workshop on bullying. There's different things. And even if you're a child, if you're an adolescent, you see a peer getting bullied, report it. You know, tell a teacher, tell a principal, tell a social worker, tell an adult in the school, you know, because that could save a life. You know, that could really change somebody's life.
Right. It should be addressed at all levels, I think. And I totally agree with you. As a parent, we have to be really active and involved with our kids' education, with anything that has to do with their academics, but especially with these kind of things. So if you see it, don't minimize it. Don't let it go. Just go to schools, address it, talk to the teachers, school counselors, social workers, principals, like you said. Every single school must have a policy around bullying.
Yeah.
Right? And I can tell you that once your kids go to school, the school becomes an entrusted caregiver. So it's their responsibility to protect their kids. And if they're not doing their job, then you can report that. You can address it with schools. Mm-hmm. That could be the first option for you as a parent. But the second, you know, if the school is not addressing those situations, then you also have... the Department of Children and Families, where you can call the Caroline and report those issues with them. So that's just to add that to what you were saying.
No, definitely. And I think the schools do have policy against anti-bullying, but we do have to, you know, understand that bullying is not a federal law either. It's not illegal.
Mm-hmm.
It's not illegal. But at the same time, when you cross the issue of harassment, that becomes obviously a federal, it's legal to do that. But as far as, you know, having school policies, there is school policies to protect. You know, now whether the schools are really emphasizing those policies and acting upon it, that's another whole subject for another day. But I think that if a parent is bringing this to their attention, I think they will review it and I think they will act upon it. I've seen different schools who, with everything going on, they've done workshops on bullying. They've talked about bullying a lot. And I think that's really important because it is. I think I forgot about the statistics about bullying, but they say, let me get that for you, actually. I think it's like one in every four kids is getting bullied. That's a high statistic about bullying.
It is. It is a high statistic. And now let's just take you back to, well, actually, let me ask you this. In your professional work, I'm sure that you have encountered clients or, you know, kids that you work with that have told you, that have shared with you about being bullied. Mm-hmm. Have you encountered situations? Yeah.
Definitely.
Okay.
Definitely working with children who have confessed that they're getting bullied. And I've seen personally, you know, hand in hand, the effects that it has on them.
Tell me about those effects.
They're depressed. You know, they have these depressive symptoms. These children would say, I'm nothing. I don't want to be here anymore. They begin to kind of have these suicidal ideations. And this is some serious things. They begin to say, I'm a loser. I have nothing. So now it's our role to kind of build that self-confidence back, build that self-esteem back. And not only the issue with the effects with the kids, but it also has these effects with the families as well. What these families are hearing, these children coming from school saying they don't want to go back, that they want to disappear. And that's concerning. And I know that that happens because I've seen it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's when things need to be addressed, mm-hmm, as far as the parents. But as far as the child trying to regain their confidence and having them regain their self-esteem, it's difficult if they're still getting bullied every day.
So what I'm hearing from you is that this is not something that is only affecting the kid, but it's also affecting the whole family system.
Correct.
The parents, the siblings,
correct,
and the kid that is being bullied.
Correct.
As well.
Correct. It does. It has a huge effect on them. It has a huge effect. I know we're parents, and I know that if we saw, you know, our kids coming home from school and crying, you know, coming home from school and saying they don't want to go back, I know it would not only get us angry, but it would make us sad. And no parent want to see their kids go through that. Mm-hmm. You know, so it does have this emotional effect on the parents as well, where they don't know what to do, you know, but there's something that they can do. And if you're a parent listening to me, I really encourage you to go and be active and go to the school and really fight for your child, because this is something that can really be affecting them.
Right. Yeah. So that would be one of the first recommendations, like Robbie said, be active, go to, mm-hmm, school, don't minimize it. What would be the next step?
The next step, I think, for the kid, you know, because I think there's two steps as far as what the parent could do and then what the child can do.
Okay.
As far as a parent, I think the first step is to go to the school, mm-hmm, and just and talk about what's being reported by the child. Mm-hmm. And following up with them, I think one of the crucial things with parents in general is just to follow up. A lot of us parents, sometimes we struggle with following up, and sometimes we let that go through the cracks. But if we follow up with the school, see what the plan that the school has, see how it's being executed, really be on top of the school. And as far as the child, I think the first thing is for a child to feel empowered to say, you know, stop. Don't do that, especially if it's something physically. You say, stop. No, you know, you respect me. Don't do that. Kind of being firm. But the child has to feel confident enough to do that. Mm-hmm. And if the child is not confident enough to do that, then it's going to be hard for him. But I think being able to put a stop on it from the child's perspective and say, stop. No, respect me. And after that, I think the second step is going to the teacher, going to an adult in the school. Someone who they feel comfortable, whether it's their teacher, their gym teacher, their music teacher. You know, there's always adults in the school. And really going up to them. And I think if it continues, they need to go to the principal, they need to go to the assistant principal. But I, you know, it would be unfortunate if they do go to a teacher and nothing happens. You know, right. That's why it has to be more of the kid and the parents as well.
Absolutely, you know? Because you're trusting the teacher that the teacher is going to do something.
Of course.
Address those behaviors.
Of course.
You know, in the classroom. But if it is not happening, then unfortunately, as a parent, you have to go to the principal or somebody, mm-hmm, that addresses.
And many kids don't want to tell anybody because they don't want to feel like, oh, I'm being a tattletale. They don't want to be like, mm-hmm, oh, I'm being soft. I don't want to say anything. I could defend myself and things like that. And I get that, you know, because I was an adolescent and I was, you know, I understood what, you know, how that went.
Yeah.
But at the same time, even if it has to be something where you have to tell them anonymously or something like that, I think it's important to do so. And that's when the parents could come in.
True. Now, how do you teach kids to be confident enough and say, no, stop?
I think it's important. I think there's different, when you talk about kids, there's different activities. You know, some of the activities that I usually do with the kids to build self-confidence is kind of something like music, for example. Mm-hmm. What I'll do with the kids is we'll write like a rap song together or nice. Something that they enjoy doing. And really,
Can you sing a little bit?
You know, something like, my name is Robbie, doing a podcast with Jose is my hobby. I'm a cool guy. I sting like a butterfly. No, but something,
That's really good, Robbie.
Something with the kids that they enjoy doing, nice. You know, and kind of rebuilding their self-esteem. I think it's all about the approach of the therapist and kind of say, hey, listen, how you doing, man? Oh, you looking fly today, man. Or you're a cool guy. Sometimes they get a haircut and building their self-esteem that way. Right. It's all these kind of different things that you do
with the kids. And it's a way of engaging them.
And you engage with them. You know, a lot of sometimes there's some good videos if you go to YouTube about bullying and some of the things that they can do. But it all starts with having the self-confidence. One of the most important things in that too is you could role play with the kid. Mm-hmm. So you do a lot of role playing. I act like the bully. Mm-hmm. We kind of keep role playing until they say, stop. Right. And so, like, I hear that they're really confident in themselves.
Right. Oh, that's Robbie for you guys. We didn't know that he was a rapper. So that's, you know.
We were all rappers in high school, man. Whether we were good, that's another thing. But we all had a little paper and we all rapped and we all made groups with our friends.
Yeah, I come from another generation, but anyway.
You were a bolero.
Bolero.
You were a bolero.
Bolerito. Well, Robbie, we're getting to the end of our recording. Is there anything else that you want to add? Is there any other recommendations you'd like to share with our audience?
I think I just want to drive the point that, you know, bullying is something that's serious and it really affects the kids. It really affects these adolescents and these children who are defenseless. They're defenseless. And I think if you're a parent and your child's going through it, you know, be active. And sometimes, if you're a parent and your child's going through this, you know, seek help, seek a therapist or seek a mentor or seek a coach who can kind of help you through this and step by step and how you can deal with this. Because a lot of parents also feel inferior to the school systems and they might not know, language might be a barrier and things like that. So, but I definitely encourage all parents and everyone who's listening to really take bullying serious. Serious thing.
Yeah, it is a serious matter. And like Robbie said, if your kids are going through this, don't hesitate. Just seek out help. There's a lot of help out there. Like he said, there are counselors, therapists, clinicians, whatever you want to call them, and they are willing to help you. And if you happen to be in the state of Connecticut and you're in need of help, don't hesitate to call us. You know the number, 844-912-9832. This is for Integrated Bilingual Counseling. Well, Robbie, we're getting to the end. Thank you very much again for taking the time to do this podcast recording with us. I'm sure it's not going to be the last time we'll be recording more episodes with you. A pleasure to have you.
No problem. Thank you, Jose. Thank you.
See you next time, brother.
Sounds good.
Take care.
Thanks for listening to IBC Podcast at www.ibcpodcast.com. Regarding the subject covered in this episode, it was provided with the understanding that neither the host, co-host, or guest are rendering legal and clinical or other professional information pertinent to your specific case. If you feel you're in the need of support or services, don't hesitate to look for help. Thank you.